Hi, I'm Marian McPartland. My guest today on Piano Jazz is Keith Jarrett, one of the world's greatest pianists. His playing is a combination of unbelievable beauty and improvisations that are mesmerizing in their technical brilliance. We're very fortunate to be with him in his own studio. Boy, I'll say it's wonderful that you let us in here.
Actually, I think it's the first time it's ever been set up this way. It's been used so privately up to now that other than the occasional interview where they want to see the studio, we've not ever really functioned except for occasional recordings.
Well, then, do you come in and do your own thing here when you feel like it?
Yes, yeah, so I practice here now every day, a couple times a day. And not too long ago, when I was getting over chronic fatigue syndrome, luckily, Melody at Night with You was possible only because I had this next to my house. And I came in here every day for about 20 minutes, and then I would be too tired, because that disease is terribly devastating. So I had set up the mics, which are still standing to my right here, with the awareness that as lacking in energy as I was, there might come a time when I could barely manage to get the piano open and then play something, and the mics should already be there and everything else should be set up. So, but the original reason for this studio was to be the repository of the piano you're sitting at now.
It's a beautiful piano.
It could not live in New Jersey unless it was in a humidity-controlled environment, and our house is very old, so it's
and
not
controlled. In a controlled environment?
No.
It's a piano like that. It doesn't stamp its foot and get mad?
It doesn't like... I don't know what it does at night.
You didn't even ask the poor piano what it liked. So many things I want to ask you. Of course, I'm so thankful that you gave me tickets to the Carnegie Hall concert. The thing was so absorbing, and to hear somebody play with such vigor and strength and such beauty, and you did truthfully come out and improvise all that.
Yes, yeah. There was no preparation.
Well, was there preparation in the way of, like, did you think of any ideas or I'm going to start with something up-tempo as opposed to a ballad?
No, not at all. Not as far as subject matter is concerned. In fact, usually if I have an idea, it locks me in its little room and keeps me there if I don't get rid of it before I put my hands on the keyboard. And so one reason that the beginning of the concert, concerts have suddenly begun to start as though I was in the middle of playing already, instead of gradually building something from soft or from, I don't know, germinating something slowly. It occurred to me just before I did the concerts that turned out to be the Radiance CD that that's not the way universes get built anyway. They get built by explosions very often. And then that causes things to, then maybe something slow occurs.
Are you going to play something? You're whetting my appetite with all this wonderful conversation.
Well, I can play something. Yeah.
You could play it. I mean, an improv or improvisation or a standard.
I'll play something that's nothing until I play it. I'll just do something, okay?
Okay.
Thank you.
I don't know what that was.
Well,
but it was good. I liked it.
Did you like it?
Yeah.
I couldn't
see.
Tell.
You never know. It just no. You know, it's like dealing cards. You don't know what you're going to get in your hand.
But it's funny because it seemed to hold together, and certain parts of it repeated. I mean, it was like a whole tune, and I thought to myself, you were improvising it, probably.
Yes, there wasn't anything that I've ever put together. It just came out like that.
But nice chords, lovely chords.
Well, see, that started with the thought of what should I play, and instead of thinking of music, I thought of voicings. But I didn't think of specific voicings. I thought, let me make this a voicing piece.
Well, you succeeded in that.
And the part of me that can't help itself is the melodic content part. So I don't have to think, let me add some melody to it. It always seems to...
Well,
if I find a motif finds me instead of me finding a motif. Somehow.
Well, I guess I love melodies, and you've got some that are very special. One very simple tune, but you recorded several times. Pretty ballad. Oh, that is so nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, with the trio with Charlie and Paul. Motion.
I've got that,
Charlie Hayden.
That record. But that's a tune I have to learn because...
So do I.
That's my kind of tune.
I'm glad you're not requesting it, because I don't know it, actually. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but when you said a tune I'll have to learn, I was doing a solo concert somewhere, and I was doing a classical appearance with an orchestra, so I needed a page turner. Usually always use the music. And so I had this page turner who, when we took a break, started to play something on the piano. And I said, wow, that's nice. What is that? And he said, what are you talking about? You wrote this. And I said, oh, well, yeah, now that you, yeah, okay, you mean with the Swedish quartet or the Scandinavian quartet? And he said, yes. I said, so how does this go? Because I started to play it and I didn't have the voicings the way I had actually written them. And he said, no, it's not like this. And he got the piano. And I said, oh, thanks a lot. I really appreciate
That's
it.
That's what all that improvising will do for you.
Yes, it's the art of forgetting.
It's amazing how different your Carnegie Hall concert was from Radiance. I felt that your the tunes themselves or the improvisations themselves seemed so different. You seemed to be more, I won't say more lively, but less dark things than you seemed in a really...
Well, New York...
Jolly mood.
No, New York was going to be an event. I knew that was true. Whether I was up to it or not, it was already going to be an event.
What did you feel up to?
So I decided that if I was not up to it, then why should they even pay the money to come? And that's always been my feeling. If I don't have anything to give them, even if they're loyal fans, they're not going to get what they've heard before or what they... Not even what they think they want. And often what they get is better, I hope.
Because it's new?
Oh, because I'm more... I know better what I'm not doing and what I am doing. I don't know more about the material I'm going to play, but I have more grasp of the instrument's potential. I've dropped the attitude of wanting the piano never to sound like a piano. I have finally freed my left hand from the jazz. If a jazz pianist decides to play alone, he's been playing more likely than not in a rhythm section for so long that his left hand has become... an appendage of some kind. Yeah, it just does chords or it does vamps or something like that.
That's true.
And the biggest change in my playing came when I realized that in this room we're sitting in. It was during that same time when I was stopping because I would end up playing a chord and saying, I don't even like this sound anymore. And then I'd stop.
But I love those stops, and you know who loved those? Mm. Alec Wilder. I used to go crazy when somebody, you especially, would just stop without making a big ending and saying, now here comes the ending of the piece, I'm just going to... He used to roar with laughter. He thought, well, that was wonderful.
Yeah.
In fact, you recorded a piece of his that I hope...
Blackberry Winter.
Don't you love that piece?
Yes, it's a great... Well, a lot of his pieces were great.
Would you deign to play that for me?
I don't know it well enough, and right now, I don't only forget my own material.
If I played it, would you be annoyed?
No.
I don't know if
I. Why would I be annoyed?
I don't know. Here goes.
Thank you.
Actually, now that's the nicest I've heard my piano.
Thank you.
I always have to be sitting at it, for one thing. Now I can actually listen to it.
Thank you.
Very good.
Well, we'll have more coming up with Keith Jarrett. Our program is made possible in part by a grant from the National Endowment for the Arts, which believes that a great nation deserves great art. I'm Marian McPartland, and this is Piano Jazz from NPR. I read something with those standard albums. The bass player, Gary Peacock, he was kind of dumbfounded that you were going to do standards.
Yes, and that's true.
But he surely knew all those tunes.
Well, according to Gary, he just thought either I'm insane or I've got a wonderful idea.
Well, because it turned out you had a wonderful idea.
Well, back in that era, which would have been the early 80s, everybody was expected to do their own thing.
And their own. Right, of course.
So, you know, you get a record contract if you have material that is yours. And it was so passé to do standards that for me, I realized there was this wide open space that no one was occupying, that I thought anybody with as much experience as Gary and Jack DeJohnette could probably just use. And then we wouldn't have to say, this is our music, we're doing our thing. And there wouldn't be that possessiveness that comes from rehearsing. And what I wanted was us to just show up and play and have the playing, which anyway is what jazz is supposed to be about, like the actual involvement and the expression of each individual player. And when we did our first recording, you might remember God Bless the Child is on there. I remember a review saying that they liked the arrangements. And I remember looking at Gary and Jack and saying, do you remember us having any arrangements?
You probably just got up there and played.
I went to the piano and I played a G octave. Do 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 do. And that was it. And then I heard Jack start, then I heard Gary start, and there was the vamp that we played this song off of. I'll show you exactly how it went down.
Show me.
Now, I'm just making the point, though, that we've never had arrangements. And
not only do you not have arrangements, I never heard a trio do three-way improvisation. That was fantastic that you did that. Forget which record that was.
Oh,
Always Let Me Go.
Always Let Me Go. Do you know how that title do you like the title? Because it's perfect for free playing. I mean,
I love it. I thought it was great.
Well, do you want to hear the story behind that?
Of course.
I was backstage in Paris with the trio just before we played, and we always eat before. So we're eating backstage, and Manfred Acker was there, sitting across from me. He just came in with a friend of his. And he sat down and I said, Manfred, and he has a very, very sharp sense of humor. And he and I had always used to have great times breaking each other up. So I'm backstage in Paris and I'm saying to him, I don't have a title, but I have 80 or 90 things that I don't like. And he said, you remember this piece called Never Let Me Go? What about, and we love this version on the second volume of Standards. What about Always Let Me Go? And I was just having a drink of coffee and I spit it out on the table. It broke me up. I mean, it was
the absolute
thing.
Well, listen, Can I play a little free music with
sure.
you?
Oh, sure. You want to play it with me?
Yes, of course.
So who starts? That's all I care about.
I mean, who starts? That's an unknown quantity.
Okay. All right. We'll ask who to start then.
Okay. Thank you. That was nice.
Good. It's great to have someone playing above what I'm playing. Usually the piano is, in a trio, the top frequency. So I don't have a singer, a soprano, singing up there. It was kind of nice to play chords and have and hear a little thing above it that I wasn't in charge of. It's
well,
great.
It was funny
it's like having a little
you were sort of in charge of making
butterfly
it,
flying around,
making it happen because you were playing those nice chords, and I thought, well, I'll try and go somewhere with those chords, and it was very pretty. I like that.
Yeah, me too.
Well, we'll have more music in a minute with Keith Jarrett. For more information about piano jazz and a list of the songs played on today's program, visit our website, pianojazz.npr.org. I'm Marion McPartland, and this is Piano Jazz from NPR. Funny, I've never figured out, is all that little noise, is that kind of ecstasy, or what is that? It makes me laugh to hear it.
There's not enough space for the input and output at the same time, and that's the only explanation I can come up with. There's stuff going through me and stuff coming out on the piano, but it isn't everything there is. So some of it is only going on in my head. And I'm following both trains at the same time. But it's also ecstatic because the perfect example is the first encore at the Carnegie Hall recording. The first encore is called an encore, but because it happened after the body of the concert, and I went off stage and came back and bowed a couple times, came back, and I sat at the piano, and I remember saying to myself something like, not in these words, but this was the feeling, it's not yet time to lower my resistance and just drop some encores onto everyone. It's time, there's still something to do. So it was, to me, the body of the concert was still going on. So it's a completely improvised piece, but there was such longing in one part of it that I could never get the sound I heard in my head out of a piano. And you hear me pause and you'll hear me make a sound. And that is one place I can precisely describe why that sound existed. It was when you reach for something and you go, oh. And you know you're not going to necessarily get there in all respects. I was doing everything I could on the keyboard, but there was even more than I could possibly have presented on piano. And that's usually the reason that the sound.
I'm trying to think of what that was called.
It's called The Good America.
That's right. You did put a title on it, but that actually was an improvisation,
yes.
Wasn't it? It's funny, when you're doing all this, you're really not, I would say, not aware of the audience, are you?
But here's something very important about the Carnegie Hall recording. I had such imminent, impeccable trust in the audience way before I even went there. I understand implicitly how to touch multicultural audience that is open to everything that's happening around them in a city like New York, because they don't make the same kind of demands that a culture that's more in isolated or bordered makes. They're
no,
not brain heavy the way a European audience might be sometimes.
They love what you do, and it's sort of like, no matter what he does, we love him. And they're going to love all the...
Yeah, so there's a passion.
Any note that you play, they're going to love it.
So there's a passion there, but there's not the tomato throwing kind of passion.
No, you don't want that.
No.
Oh, God. Listen, I'm getting to where I want to do something. I'd like to try to do sort of a musical portrait of you. Could you go for that?
Sure.
I don't know what it'll be.
That'd be all right.
Here goes. Give it a try.
In the end, I'm in B flat. I didn't realize that about myself.
You must be a B flat type then.
Well, at least I'm not an A type. That's good.
No, I wouldn't have put that in there, that's for sure. Well, there's more to come with Keith Jarrett. Our program is made possible in part by the Friends of Piano Jazz and is a production of South Carolina ETV and Radio. I'm Marian McPartland, and this is Piano Jazz from NPR. Visit us on the web and subscribe to our podcast, Piano Jazz Shorts, at pianojazz.npr.org.
Well, why don't I play something else, too?
I wish you would.
It's a song called Country that I wrote for the Scandinavian Quartet.
Oh, I'd love to hear that.
Jan Gerbark.
Country music?
Well, it's called country. There's some country there.
Can't wait to hear it.
Okay. Thank you.
I love the tune. I was wondering if it had a lyric. It sort of has a Johnny Cash feeling about it.
It is something that I've thought about, having a lyric for it. And I used to write lyrics to some of my things. But it doesn't have a lyric. But it's very hard to play alone. So I thought I'd challenge myself to this, because I'm supposed to be all the instruments at the same time. It's a little hard to be the guitar and the bass.
Well, if you were challenging yourself, I think you did very well. I mean, I loved it. And you were playing a lot of runs, and I'm very envious because I don't have those kind of chops anymore, if I ever did.
Well, thanks. Well, you have what you have. We all have what we have.
Exactly. I have what I have, and I'm going to hang on to it if I can. Today has been a kind of a revelation, because I had no idea you lived in this fantastic forest area, just making the trip here without all this playing and wonderful tunes, all that, just coming and being in the studio and being in the house. It's fabulous.
Thank you. Thanks.
I've had a ball, and I'm still having it. What are we going to play for the last tune? We've got to do one more tune.
Well, I'm sure there are things you'd like to play. I don't know. You can choose.
Indian Summer?
Yeah. It's very pretty. I'll just let you start, though, so I know what key you're going to play in.
Well, you don't care about what key?
No, I don't think so. I know it goes up a third.
I never know what the key is going to be, but here goes. Thank you. Oh, I hate it to be over. I've had a wonderful time with you.
That was a lot of fun.
You've been listening to Piano Jazz with Marianne McPartland. Our guest has been pianist and composer Keith Jarrett. Join us each week at this time as Marianne welcomes other outstanding artists for an hour of conversation and improvisation. This program was recorded at Keith Jarrett's personal studio and is a production of South Carolina ETV Radio. The producer is Sherry Hutchinson. Recording engineer Duke Marcos, assisted by Brian McCabe and Yu Jin. Mastering engineer David Mitchell. Production coordinator David Lyon. Executive producer Elaine Freeman. If you wish to contact us, our email address is pj@scetv.org. Our postal address is 1041 George Rogers Boulevard, Columbia, South Carolina, 29201. Support for Piano Jazz comes from the National Endowment for the Arts, Pacioli Pianos, the Friends of Piano Jazz, and NPR. Support for NPR comes from NPR stations and NPR. Contributors include the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, committed to building a more just, verdant, and peaceful world. More information at macfound.org. And the William T. Grant Foundation, supporting research to improve the lives of young people. Online at wtgrantfoundation.org. This is NPR.